The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 22nd of February, 2021. On the podcast today, I have On the Markets CFO Clive Beattie discussing their update on their trading for the year to the end of the 31st of January 2021, which is ahead of expectations. Also on the podcast, Alan Green, CEO of Brand and Communications, talks about Avacta, Cattenay Innovations, Rambler Metals and Mining, and Tertiary Minerals. And as always, I have two lists for you at the end of the podcast. Top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked or read RNSs too. You can see both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. We'll see lots of other content. In fact, there's something there on Plarium Imaging announcing new board appointment, Empire Metals acquisition of 75% in Eclipse Gold Project. Clear Leisure raises $1 million to advance cryptocurrency plans, and that's rocketing today because John Story is the guy behind that £1 million he's put up there. And John's got a good track record. He came on the podcast a while back. Check that out, all at voxmarkets.co.uk. And also you can see, of course, our COVID-19 index. Avacta's at the top there, up 9.3%. And the biggest faller is E-Therapeutics, down 6.5% at 23 pence. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Clive Beattie, Chief Financial Officer of On The Market, OTMP. Sticker there, Clive, thanks for joining me.
Justin, good morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah, and you've released a post-year-end trading and operation update, and it's trading ahead of expectations. Very good. We'll dig into that as always. But as always, Clive, if someone is listening right now, not quite familiar with On The Market, and maybe they sort of heard of you, but explain what you're all about, please.
Of course. So On The Market is a property portal, and we list on the portal properties for sale or for let. That people interested in buying and renting properties can come to the portal, see the properties and get in touch with the agents or house builders concerned. But we also provide a range of ancillary information and services around that. So really looking to provide both our customers, the agents and the house builders, and consumers with a range of value-added services relating to property transactions.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so trading ahead of expectations. Take us through some of the figures, if you could, Clive.
Yes, yeah, so we did do a brief update late last year, but we are trading slightly ahead of even that update. You know, we've had a good Christmas and New Year, January. So at the moment, our year end is January. So 31st of January 21 is our year end just gone. Mm-hmm. And we're expecting revenues for the year to be around 23 million. And that is up from financial year 20, where we did 18.8 million. And obviously that year as well, the 23 million covers the period when we were giving discounts and things for COVID. So, you know, not quite an ordinary year. At the same time, our adjusted operating profit now we're expecting to be about 2.3 million, which compares with a loss of 9.2 million. Now, again, that's COVID affected. And in some ways, you know, we did, as I think you know, reduce some of our expenditure on both marketing particularly, but also staff. So, again, not necessarily a normal year, but nevertheless, you know, for us, when we went into COVID, if we could have imagined coming out with strong revenue growth and the cost and cash discipline to come out with an operating profit and a strong cash position, cash at the year end was 10.7 million. So we're very happy with that.
Yeah, it was a very different year. And even though it's very encouraging, top line went up, like you say, 23 million versus 18.8. And that's including all the discounts you gave due to COVID. But then again, you have to look at the profit. Like you said, you didn't spend as much marketing because obviously people are locked down and stuff. So it's hard to know. So going forward, how is this going to change? I assume you say there that marketing spend is going to go up again. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So you know, we the year just gone has been an unusual year, and we wouldn't expect that level of, you know, that lower level of marketing expenditure. So we're already planning to go back to more usual levels. We're also planning to invest further in headcount. You know, a lot of our services and products we offer are effectively developed by IT development team. So to invest there in growth of the services and products and improvements in existing ones. So, for example, just over Christmas again, we launched a new product on the site called Value My Home. Mm-hmm. And this is where if you're a consumer and you're interested to know what your house might be worth, you can come onto our site, click on the Value of My Home, put in some details, and get an estimate of the valuation. So, you know, if you're thinking about a potential move, you know, it's often a good way to start. And then through that, you can contact agents, et cetera, if you want to take further.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's those sorts of things that we'll be developing and investing in, along with the marketing spend getting back to more usual levels.
Yeah, yeah. And you said that there, that property valuation service has led to increased valuation leads with agents and stuff. And I see your average lead is doing very well. The figure's there, isn't it?
Yeah, so again, the consumer engagement has been strong. And, you know, since COVID, clearly the agency and house builder markets have been strong themselves. You know, once the first lockdown ended, they've been very strong. There's been incentives such as the huge relief. So a range of measures that have led to busy markets. But nevertheless, you know, for us, we think, you know, we're getting, I'd say, about 28 million consumer visits in January. And we think we have a high proportion of those are around what we would call active property seekers, you know, people who are actually in the market looking to buy, sell, rent, let, etc., rather than just casual browsing. And that leads to the leads we did, 1.8 million leads in January, average of 146 per advertiser. If we go back actually a year ago in January last year, pre-COVID, still quite busy markets, but we were doing about 126 there. So again, you know, good growth. And that is, you know, that is increasing the value we're returning to our advertising customers by way of leads.
Yeah, so even it's hard to get. COVID has sort of muddied the waters a bit, but with COVID there, you're confident there you are making definite positive progress. Is that right?
No, I think absolutely. You know, I think you know, COVID was a challenge, but actually, particularly on the consumer engagement side, it really was an opportunity because we cut back on the marketing. It did demonstrate to us that actually we do have much more brand engagement, much more consumer engagement with the website. You know, many more people now have the app or are signed up to receive emails, etc., because I guess they value, you know, what we can bring to them. You know, I think, you know, one of our differences with our proposition is we are heavily agent owned, and obviously they support us, and we're very grateful for that. You know, one of those ways is that we do get thousands of properties each month from those agents listed on us 24 hours or more before they're on Rightmove or Zoopla. Mm-hmm. And indeed, we have some agents who list only on the market. So we do have properties that you can either see first for that period or potentially only see on our portal. And I think consumers are increasingly aware of that. And if you are a consumer, you want to see whole of market and see 100%, you need to come to on the market to do that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And before, maybe I'll say that Jason is now the CEO. It'd be nice to get him on very soon. How are you settling in?
Very well indeed. So absolutely no problems. He kicked off formally, I think, you know, on 14th of December. Mm-hmm. And it's been a very busy time for him, as you can imagine. So I don't think he's going to be sitting back and resting too much for the foreseeable future. But a number of new initiatives underway. You know, we've already talked since he's been on. We've launched the Value My Home. Got a number of other initiatives in the pipeline, looking to both provide greater value through the things we already offer, but also add to the offering, you know, products and services that can be supplied to either our customers or to consumers throughout the life cycle of a property transaction. And I think that's a direction you'll see us increasingly move on as we go through the current year, is to broaden that product offering.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And obviously we can't just chat without mentioning sort of this cliff that's impending, that's coming forward, and that's the stamp duty holiday, of course, the break. And explain what happened, and if you could, and what do you think is going to happen and how it'll affect the market, if you could, Clive.
Yeah, so what happened was the Chancellor brought in a relief such that you know, the stamp duty that you would normally pay up to 500,000, that was waived up to a property value of 500,000. So effectively the stamp duty on a 500,000 property for most buyers, could save you £15,000. But that was brought in for a temporary period, which expires in March. Now, there is some debate about whether that should or will be extended. I don't think we'll know that before the budget, so another couple of weeks before we probably know for certain. But what has happened in the meantime is that as people have sought to get their transactions completed in advance of that to benefit from the saving, we saw very busy new instructions latter half of last year, fourth quarter last year, coming up to Christmas. Lots of properties coming to market to try and do that. We've probably seen a quietening of that. So actually this year, beginning of this year, the new instructions generally been quiet. I think one of the reasons is that, people don't anticipate that if you're only starting a property transaction now, that you'll be able to complete that in time for the stamp duty deadline at the end of March.
Yeah.
Whereas agents have a lot of transactions on their books. I think for agents at the moment, they are busy completing on transactions that have already been instructed. And they're very busy on that. There are lots of those. Indeed, there's a concern that even many of the ones already instructed won't be able to complete before the deadline for stamp duty. Mm. But I think it has led to a quietening of new instructions. And I think generally people are uncertain on the markets. Obviously, key announcements today about roadmaps out of lockdown and so forth. So I think people, have paused to see, well, what does it mean? How does lockdown end? What does it mean for everyone's life, etc.? So, a general quietening in the market, I'd say, is currently being experienced.
Yeah. Like I said, any ideas? I mean, I suppose you have no inside knowledge on this because everyone's speculating, but I suppose it makes sense to the people who have applied beforehand to give them that chance to, conduct their I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, are there thoughts that you will extend it for a certain group of people who already applied, or it's going to be extended? Any ideas what's going to happen?
I have to say I don't have any insight, so hopefully no one will try and do anything based on anything I say. But there's speculation that either it'll just be extended full stop, or it'll be extended for people who have already got to a certain stage, or that none of those will happen. It will just end as it's currently scheduled. So yeah. I think it's very uncertain at the moment. But I think there are thousands and thousands of transactions already underway that will miss the deadline if it doesn't get extended. So, there is some pressure there, as you say. The trouble with any cliff edge thing is this, this always happens. Obviously, it drags, in our sense, the property world, it will drag transactions forward, and then you might expect it to be a bit quieter after it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, obviously COVID was quite exceptional, had to do things to stimulate markets, the economy, and it seems to have, been very helpful in doing that. So we'll just have to see what the Chancellor does in the budget. But, we're hopeful that there'll be some form of extension so that, the agents and, of course, consumers trying to sell can get transactions through.
Yeah, and I suppose the main thing is it's the uncertainty, isn't it? Once that's cleared, that'll help either way. Even if he doesn't extend it, at least people know then where they stand, because is that uncertainty, I suppose, isn't it, that's stopping the market, stop people put their houses on the market and all that stuff, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, once there's certainty, an event like this may lead to a bit of a blip, sort of slightly busier before, slightly quieter after, but over time it would obviously smooth out. And I think you're quite right, at the end of the day, if you've got certainty, you can plan around it. But when times are uncertain, that's the current
Marvelous stuff. Okay, Clive, thanks for that. As always, if you could finish off with three reasons if someone's liking the sound of the progress you're making but are not yet following the story, three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add On the Market to their watch list, please.
Yes, of course. The first really around the schedule is that we've released is continuing to provide strong growth and combining that with financial discipline, good cash and cost management. So I think that's important for investors. Secondly, on the operational side, the metrics are strong. We're still seeking to increase value to both customers and consumers through improving and broadening our range of products and services, but we're getting good consumer engagement, good leads back to our advertising customers. And I think the third comes back to a point we discussed, the differentiated proposition. We do have a lot of agent ownership, but that does give us a lot of agent support. That does give us our new and exclusive offering and some of our exclusive only agents. So I think that side of things, continuing to work with agents, putting agents at the core of our proposition, both now and in the future, sustainably fair pricing. I think all that sets us apart, and hopefully that will pay benefits as we go forward.
Excellent stuff. Good to chat to you, Clive, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Justin. Have a great day.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communication. Jarrell.
Good morning, Justin. I'm very well, thanks. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm all right. I'm looking forward to the sort of easing or slow easing of the lockdown, starting today, and we're going to chat about that. And I know we sort of know what's going on, but it seems we are on the roadway out,
it really does feel like that. For the first time in I don't know how long, we're out walking the dogs and you're speaking to people. Oh yes, I've been vaccinated, popped over to Eastbourne, had my jab. So and then obviously nationally we hear it's, I think, 18, 19 million now been vaccinated. That's a huge chunk of the population. So there's a real sense it's moving on. And obviously once that's done, then we can have the pubs reopen. We can, people can have the prospect of perhaps going away on holiday, maybe not abroad, but certainly a staycation in any event, which is fantastic, so the real prospect of life returning to normal. So very exciting stuff.
Yeah, cool. Okay, what's the first stock up, pal? What are you chatting about?
Cat and Eye Innovation, CTEA is the epic code. And of course, Cat and Eye shares currently trading at, I think, 2.5p. They've been as high as 9 or 10p on the year and as low as a penny, I believe, or just below that. But Cat and Eye have, they're a blockchain company. And of course, the company been working for a number of years using blockchain based technology to provide. Provide immutable record keeping services for the commercial sector. There's good examples with an insurance contract they have, and also with the leisure sector and with various football clubs to record information about the clubs and the various associations that they work with. But last year, the company took a step into COVID and testing. It was restructured. A new board was brought in. Guy Meyer, of course, is the chief executive, and Brian Thompson is on the board too. He's an entrepreneur up in Newcastle, and he owns 29% of the company now. And they developed a blockchain-based app called CoVID, which basically reflects and records an individual status. Of course, the intention was to put this in front of the UK government and to hopefully be selected for testing and ultimately, of course, use by an individual whenever they're travelling and moving. So, in line with the antigen test, you've then got an app that records via blockchain an individual status and the most recent testing they've undergone. So, lastly, the app was tested with Newcastle Premier Health. The project trial was very successful, and several developments took place. They also signed a joint venture with a Botswana-based company to develop Afric ID, which is across the southern African states. That's some 346 million people, and they are in the process of developing for Africa. January this year, the company raised £1 million. Issued 50 million new shares and also converted 50,000 of director shares or 50,000 of director remuneration into shares too. So the directors are very much taking share-based payments rather than financial payments. Progressed through today, where we've just had an update from the company this morning. They've been invited by the UK government's Department of Digital Culture and Media and Sport to participate in developing a digital ID policy development and integrating the app that they have in with that. They've also been invited by Public Health Scotland to do the same. And of course, the app is already certified to ISO 27001, which I don't understand what that means, but that's obviously a verification and a strong stamp of approval. This test process is now taking place. And of course, if it is selected, once again, it could be absolutely huge for Cat and I. And bear in mind that Cat and I's got a market cap, trading 2.6p, has got a market cap of just over 7 million. So that's a real sort of tip of the iceberg job if it is selected to supply the app or supply the official app to reflect an individual identity. So again, very, very exciting times for this company. We've already seen the share price explode as high as 9 or 10p, I think, last year. But, if this is confirmed going forward, then of course it could be a many times multi-bagger, but that's just my personal opinion.
Okay, yeah, well, it's just, yeah. You can't say that. Many times multi-bagger. Don't say that, please.
Okay, multi-bagger then. I'll take the many times out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool, what's next, Al? Cat and I there.
Okay, so we're moving to mining now. Now, of course, we've spoken about how the current crisis has perpetuated a resurgence in metals and mining. And one of the metals that has had an absolutely spectacular run since it collapsed last year is copper. And, of course, copper has recovered. It was trading $8,000 a tonne, I think, at the start of January. And I think up to last Friday, it was just under $9,000 a ton, so it's heading in the right direction. The company's Rambler Metals and Mining. So the company's shares are traded as high on the year as 2p and as low as 0.21p. It's just trading 0.34p above that now. And the reason being that in February, the company announced a placing to raise $10 million to basically invest into and further develop the mine that the company operates. So details on that mine. It's the company are based in Newfoundland in Canada, they have a mine on the it's the Ming copper gold mine in Newfoundland and Labrador, and the mine was in operation and then ceased because the deposit reached a third property boundary. That property was then subsequently bought by Rambler and integrated into the mine. So, of course, they were able to recommence mining. It has excellent infrastructure there, including roads, fresh water, electricity, access to a working port. The company also owns a mill to process the ore, which is some 40 kilometres from the Ming mine. So the company clearly hit tough times last year, but in an operational update at the start of the year, the company said it had been a challenging year, but the company was focused on accelerating the mine development and getting production back up to previous levels, which are some 1,350 tons of ore per day. So well on route to doing that. It's fully funded now to be able to achieve that, and given the direction the copper price is going in, this could be a very exciting year for the company, which still has a very modest market cap of $37 million for a company with an operating mine that's actually producing copper. So a very exciting year and prospect for Rambler Metals.
Yeah, copper. It's hot, isn't it?
It's hot copper, mate. It really is. Yeah, it's going places. I mean, just look at the price performance, you know, since the start of the year. But, it collapsed last year with COVID, of course. But, let's also not forget it's an integral part of batteries. And, going forward, the battery industry, the giga factories spring up all over the world. This is it's a core requirement of batteries. So copper is going places. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Marvellous stuff. Al, thanks for that. Fella, anything else? Anything else we're chatting about?
Yeah, just very quick update on tertiary minerals. Of course, tertiary minerals has a number of properties in Nevada, USA, in the Walker Lane Gold Belt. Since the start of the year, it has completed soil sampling at the Paymaster Polymetallic Project and developed new targets. Today announced it was starting to drill today what it calls the Lucky Copper Project. It's identified an immediate target with copper mineralization, which needs confirming and putting into context. Interesting situation on the price action here. Currently trading at 0.5p, gives it a market cap of just under $6 million. The company engaged with a company called Precious Metals Capital Group last year to undertake a share subscription. £600,000 was the fee the company paid, so that went into tertiary coffers, and the company's gradually been issuing those shares into the market, which has had the effect of creating a price overhang for tertiary. So, of course, every time the price goes up, Precious Metal Capital Group requests more shares are issued, which brings it back down again. Most of the shares have now been issued, so there are just £60,000 worth of shares left to issue, so one-tenth of the initial subscription. Once those are issued, I would expect the share price to make more progress, particularly considering the raft of projects tertiary has and the progress they're now making. So exciting year and possibly for tertiary too.
Well, it's all exciting, Al, isn't it?
It is. Very.
Marvellous stuff. Has Tushy done well on the chart? What's the chart looking like?
Well, it's come, so if you look, we look at the 1 year chart, I mean, we've come up, you know, the shares have literally, well, I think they popped up to 0.3p in October, but been about 0.24p, which is more or less where Precious Metal Capital Group were issuing the shares into the market. But since the start of the year, you can see where the price has gone. It's been over 0.6p intraday, 0.58p on 12th of Feb last week. I would expect further progress before the year's out.
Marvellous stuff. Cheers, Al. And we'll speak you next week.
Thanks, Jess. Speaking this week, mate. Cheers.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Ridgecrest, down 26% to 1.5. At four, Rambler Metals and Mining. Of course, Alan talked about those in the podcast. Up 3% to 0.35. At three, Clear Leisure, up 80%, 2.25. At two, Argo Blockchain, down 1.6%. In fact, Bitcoin starting to roll over a bit. Be interesting to see where it goes, if it comes down or just goes sideways. And at one, Avacta Group, down 9.29%. Nearly 10% to £2. Nice round figure there. Okay, top five most read RNSs are as follows. At five, Rambler Metals and Mining, appointment of Ned. Well done, Ned. Ned's very popular. Gets appointed in a lot of companies. At four, Clear Leisure Group, placing to raise £1 million. John's story behind that, of course. At three, Orosur Mining, Colombia update. At two, Argo Blockchain, priority supply agreement with the Argo and Epic. And at one, it's Avacta Group, press speculation. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.